The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We're actually multiple times per day through the month of June for whatever reason. Actually, there is a, it's not for whatever reason. We have a very specific reason. We're doing the All 32 series where we break down with an excellent guest, someone who knows the team well, every single NFL team, or at least like 15 of them until we get tired of the series and we give up and don't cover the Jaguars. We have a Cowboys episode in the feed with Jane Slater of NFL Media. Check that out. It's a fascinating conversation. A lot of Dak talk. And now to break down the Dolphins. Great friend of the show. Longtime friend of the show. If we had a leaderboard of recurring guests, he might actually be the number one most recurring non-CBS guest, Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald. Bees, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, your advertisers are now running for the hills after hearing that plug.
Follow Bees on Twitter, at Adam H. Beasley. Obviously, read him, support hashtag support local on the Miami Herald. So I think the obvious question is, like, what do you think they're going to do with the quarterback position? And first of all, I'll say this. Like, and I mentioned, I thought, let's back up 1 second, because I want to ask you about the draft itself, because, you know, you guys at the Herald, and everybody did this down in Miami, because the team was leaking out aggressively that they did not like Tua Tagovailoa. And look, it's your job to talk to sources and to report it. And that, okay, so do you think they did a good job with the smokescreen, or is it just like they did a fine job and it's just sort of the way the market worked and Tua's health was that they landed him at five?
Yes. I think the idea that Chris Greer was here intentionally putting out disinformation is a bit wrong. I think that they were clearly on the fence 2-3 weeks out.
Okay.
They didn't know for certain until the medicals came back at the end that Tua was going to be their pick, because and again, they weren't going to move up for him anyway because of the risk.
Right.
Because the fact that you don't know for certain his body's going to hold up. So they weren't going to give up a first round pick to go up to three to get a guy that might be damaged goods. They thought that this is the guy we like the most. Obviously, his tape is, I think his college team is better than Joe Burrow's. I think he would have been the number one pick in the draft, even if Burrow.
Well, you think if Tua was completely healthy, even with Burrow doing what he did, Tua would have been first.
Yes, because his
wow.
he has 3 years of evidence. I mean,
yeah,
if Tua had made it through the season healthy, he obviously would have been in the college football playoff again.
Yep.
I mean, they would have
almost got in without him. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So he would have had three or four more games of high level tape against the best teams in the country. And he did it for 3 years. I mean, one of his first passes as a collegiate was to win the national championship. I mean,
yeah. And it was a bomb and a walk off.
Great. Yeah. It was a fantastic throw. So no, I think that there would have been enough teams out there to make Tua the number one pick. And if the Bengals were on the fence about it, they could have traded out. I mean, if they were fine with either one of them, they could have taken that king's ransom that the Dolphins and other teams offered.
Or at least the Redskins were going to do that. Like, mm-hmm. If Tua is 100% healthy, he goes to worst case scenario, and the Redskins get a bounty for him. But because people just didn't know, and again, like, it's easy. We're used to it now. But, like, it was very weird to deal with an injured prospect who had multiple injuries throughout the course of his career in a corona situation where he just couldn't check these teams, get checked out by these teams. How do you think
the Dolphins will play this in 2020, because I think there's a lot of people who think there might be a redshirt situation and they might let Fitzpatrick play. He obviously, I think it was the, he did an interview with, was it Joe Thomas?
Was it Eric Wood, maybe?
Eric Wood. That's right. Sorry, Eric Wood. All those linemen look alike to me. all those retired, skinny former offensive linemen look alike to me. So he talks to Wood and he's like, look, man, I'll give him whatever he needs. Like, Fitz doesn't seem – he's not going to be mad if he loses the – like, how do you think they're going to play this out, I guess, is my question.
Well, there's a lot of layers this onion to unpeel. Fitz was on the fence about even playing again this year, even though he's under contract, late last season. And I spoke to him in a private moment, no tape recorders, just chatting. He's like, no, what's going on? And I could see he didn't want to get into it. I was like, well, is it your family? He said, oh, no, it's not a family situation. In my mind, what I think we thought the time was, well, he wasn't going to come back if he didn't know he was going to play. Right. I think he didn't want to come back if the offensive coordinator was still here. And that's Chad O'Shea, who came here from New England last 1 year. And it was, we wrote about this a couple of weeks ago in the Herald, we walked through the whole process of what happened. And he had lost the team, essentially lost the offense. He was over his head. Bleep show was the word that one of the players said to describe it. I don't think Fitz wanted any part of going back to that kind of situation. So when the Dolphins made the change, brought Chan Gailey out of retirement to run their offense.
Fitz's guy, by the way. He got Fitz $80 million in Buffalo. People forget right. That was like, when did you start? We started around the same time, right? Or we've gone over this a million times, but like roughly the same timeline in terms of working in the NFL media. Like, Brian Fitzpatrick got a $70 million contract from the Buffalo Bills. Like, right. It was crazy.
Yeah, even though he has 27 kids, he's never going to run out of money thanks to right. Buffalo Bills. But no, I think Fitz wants to play, but he knows the score. He was upset last year when he was benched for Josh Rosen because he sure. knew Rosen wasn't good enough. I mean, he wasn't going to say it publicly, but he knew he was a better player than Rosen, and he thought it wasn't helping the team. If Tua plays this year with the team set up how it is, he's beaten Fitz out. That's he's going to earn that time because I know the Vegas has him at 6 wins. I know, you know, the FPI and all that don't think they're a 500 team even. I look at a roster that was horrendous last year, absolutely horrendous. One of the worst teams ever assembled, and they won 5 games, and they won in Foxborough, and they won in a lot of different ways you wouldn't expect. Now, fast forward a year, and they put tens and tens and tens of million dollars of guaranteed money into a locker room, plus 11 draft picks, including 3 in the first round. If they're only 1 win better, that's a failure. I mean, that is a huge failure for this team if they only go from 5 to 6 wins this year. Whoever's going to play quarterback for them this year is going to be good because Fitz knows that system as well as anybody. He's comfortable with the personnel. If he wins the job, it's going to be because he's good. Do I think they're going to redshirt Tua? No. I think that there's a chance if they start out on PUP during training camp, particularly because they're not going to have any chance to see him this spring. Sure. If it was a true open competition from April 1 or May 1 or whatever it is, they would have reported for OTAs, and Tua had a chance to get that entire offseason in the system, there's a chance he might have beaten out Fitzpatrick. He's that good. But I don't see a scenario with if it's just a compressed, real quick 4 or 5 week audition, how he's going to have enough knowledge, enough reps to be their starter week one. For me, the wild card's Rosen. What do they do with him? Because I think Fitz is going to start. I think Tua's going to take over at some point if they don't get to where they want to get to. But what happens to Rosen? Because, I mean, talk about a guy with zero trade value now. I mean, I was having a conversation on our own podcast, by the way, Dolphins Depth, Armando Salguero and me.
Plug it away.
And he was saying, well, why doesn't Rosen force his way out? And my answer is, with what leverage? The only way he could force himself out at this point, he's so annoying, they just cut him.
Or like, get arrested or something. Be like total a-hole. And they're just like, all right, look, we don't want to deal with you. But I mean, even then, like, you know, Fitzpatrick's time is coming to a close. Rosen does have a pedigree. He's still just 23 years old. He's under contract for 2 more years. Like, if he's a good teammate and he's quiet and he works hard, like, he's got some, I mean, like, it'd be crazy to get rid of him. He's cheap as hell.
Especially, yes, even for a number 3 quarterback, $2 million is very cheap.
Right.
But not only that, who's to say that Fitz doesn't get coronavirus? Who's to say that Tua doesn't get coronavirus and they've got to shelve the guy for 2 weeks? Ooh. And all of a sudden, if Fitz gets sick, Tua's not ready, what do you do? you got to have someone who's got some experience on, I know he's not a ton of experience, but you have to have someone in the building ready to step up and play. So I think they keep all three. They're going to alternate between Tua and Rosen, who's on the active on game day. I doubt they'll keep all three active. And he'll have a chance to rehabilitate his reputation and his career. I think the likeliest path for Rosen is he goes through the season largely as the backup, maybe sometimes as number three, and then he has a chance in 2021 to be their clear-cut number two because Fitz isn't going to be here in 21. Or if he plays well enough in the preseason and in spot duty, the Dolphins get some for him and flip him for a draft pick.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point that you make. Like so, and I think you know Fitzpatrick probably not going to be there past 2020. You know who probably else isn't going to be there? Chan Gailey. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to stick around for a while. That he's not. He's great at his job, an underrated coach in terms of the pantheon of offensive coordinators, and actually was fairly decent in Dallas, I guess. But Fitz, if Tua beats out Fitz in a Chan Gailey system, it means Tua is ready to play, like to play at a Pro Bowl level almost. You know what I mean? Because that's how familiar Ryan Fitzpatrick is with the system. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. And like, I don't think you would bring back Chan Gailey. I don't think you would bring Chan Gailey out of retirement as like the long-term setup to pair with Tua. You know, like that's not the play. Okay. So. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll discuss more matters at hand with the Dolphins.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Okay, so what is the story? I mean, like, this quarterback thing with the Dolphins is all anybody's going to talk about. That's just how rookie quarterbacks work. What is the storyline that not enough people are paying attention to with the Miami Dolphins?
I think their secondary has the chance to be the best in the National Football League. I think they can be the best coverage secondary in all of football. And that sounds crazy because they gave up a bajillion yards last year. Well, they gave up a bajillion yards last year with – Xavien Howard missing most of the season, with them playing guys literally off the street late in the year, with Bob McCain still learning how to play safety, with Eric Rowe making a position change to safety. Now, fast forward a year, and they've got Xavien back healthy. They have that experience with McCain and Rowe. And Rowe is one of the better covered safeties against tight ends you're going to see. I mean, they kind of just stumbled into him. They signed him to be a corner. It didn't work out there. It was like, all right, let's try him with safety. And he got a contract extension out of it. And then you throw in Byron Jones, who's the best free agent position player available. Best free agent, not a quarterback available.
And only available because the Cowboys, who, by the way, check out the Jane Slater podcast about the Cowboys, are idiots and paid Zeke Elliott instead of paying Dak Prescott and then being able to franchise tag Amari Cooper and sign Byron Jones. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
And it worked to the Dolphins' benefit because they got – I mean, it was stunning. We thought – Xavien's had some issues. He's had his health. He had an arrest, although those charges have been dropped. So we were thinking, are you cutting? Are you trading Xavien Howard? No, they're going to play him together. And then to the cherry on top was that with their third of three first round picks, they drafted Noah Igbinoghi, whose name I mangle every time I say it.
It's Igbinoghi.
Igbinoghi?
Igbinoghi.
Like rhymes with monogamy.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, that's how I'll remember it.
Right, because you and I both practice at a high level monogamy.
Obviously. I mean, it's the only way that I can convince someone to deal with me for the rest of my life.
That's right. Yeah. You don't get polygamy with this package. And no. I think anyone's sticking around.
One or the other. So this is my 2012 is my first year covering the Dolphins. So this is my ninth season coming up. And this is more talent than I've ever had at that position. Is it going to be enough? I don't know, but I do think that they are going to be much better in coverage than they have been in the past, and they might be a top five defensive backfield when it's all said and done.
Have you secretly covered like 14 different scandals?
Oh my God.
Blowgate. Like blow/hookergate.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a 30 on 30 just on Richie Incognito. I mean, the scandals that he had in Miami alone are wild. But no, it's been
You started you started with Joe Philbin.
Yes,
yeah, they had the hard knocks back in the day. Yeah,
for years and years and years and years, this team was only in national news for being embarrassing, like for doing something that's totally out of bounds. This is the first offseason that I've been like, whoa, this is what it's like to cover a team that has national interest for a good reason. And it's been great. I mean, they're only going to – we talked to the team CEO today, and we talked to Miami-Dade mayor because the Dolphins had – and I should plug this. It's really cool. They're doing a community outreach program where they're giving away 1,000 meals a day for the next year people who are suffering from COVID. And Flores and Greer and Tom Garfinkel, the CEO and the mayor of Miami-Dade, they're all at the stadium today. Giving away food for the start of the program. But we got a chance to talk to these people, and the mayor says absolutely there will be football at Hard Rock, and he thinks they're going to be able to get like 15,000 people in that building.
What is the biggest position battle for the Miami Dolphins to watch as we sort of – and it's early June, we're recording this, and obviously no OTAs, but – we think we're getting training camp. So like what is, and you know, it's a month away, 2 months away, whatever it is. But what do you think is one position battle that is worth watching for the Miami Dolphins? Could it be Jordan Howard and Matt Breida? Or does no
Ooh,
one?
Ooh, that's a fun. See, again, Matt Breida, who remembers that he's on Dolphins at this point? I mean, that is the perfect snapshot of Corona Brain. I mean, yeah. It happened the day three of the draft. The Dolphins had 27 picks that day. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, we may have a new starting running back. And they just kind of slipped that right in. So no, that's going to be a great battle. My guess is they're going to split carries anyway. So no matter who starts, it doesn't matter. They're both going to be out there. I think offensive line's pretty wild because they drafted three dudes. Yeah. They signed Eric Flowers. They signed Ted Karras. They've got some horses there now. They have legitimately 12 guys that are going to compete for seven or eight spots. Guys are going to be the active on the 46. It's more than 46 now, isn't it? How many is on game day?
Yeah. Again, Corona Brain. We'll look it up. We'll tell
yeah.
you.
It's like 48 or 49 now. So
I was going to say, I agree with you completely. And I think the offensive line is very interesting for Miami because like you sort of have to balance this. Like, do you want to put, you know, Solomon Kinley and Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt out there. I mean, three guys taken in the first, four rounds of the draft. Or, how do these guys slot in there? And if you do put out these young offensive linemen, do you then want to go with Fitzpatrick so Tua Tagovailoa isn't being – by the way, you got stuck with Tua Tagovailoa and Noah Igbinoghene? That is tough.
Yeah, see, on the same night.
Yeah.
Within hours of each other. It was
Bees, can you do a radio hit? Absolutely not. I cannot do any radio hits. I'm practicing my pronunciation. But, yeah, I mean, it's like do you put those young guys out there with Tua? Because if you do that, you do run the risk of, your young quarterback who has been injury prone taking more hits with an inexperienced offensive line, right?
Yeah, well, Austin Jackson to me is kind of he'll be the canary in the coal mine because if he plays, they're going young. His upside.
He's great, but he's raw.
He's 20 years old. Yeah. I mean, they drafted some other guys that weekend that are 4 full years older than he is. I mean, 4 years older than him. So I think they're going to go.
99. He was born in 99. Oh my God.
He doesn't remember anything. Like he probably barely remembers the economic crash in 2008.
He's like, he was born with a cell phone. And like he like got an email address, like he had his birth certificate emailed to him when he was born.
Yeah, so they're not even millennials at that point, are they?
He's like sub-millennial.
Yeah, yeah, Gen Z, I think they call it.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's finish. I'll ask you this. We'll get out of here. Win total projection is what we throw out there, but instead, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the ceiling is, and what's the floor for the Dolphins, and what is more importantly a successful season for the Dolphins in 2020?
There's a lot of parts to that question.
There are.
I will say this. They will play meaningful December games this year.
Okay.
They will.
That's a success in my mind right there.
Totally. Because it's going to be a function of the AFC East being substantially worse than it's been in a long time, or at least on the top end. I think we've discussed this in the past. I think Josh Allen's a complete fraud. I think the Bills are due for an 8-8 season this year. I think the Patriots are due for a 9-7 season this year. So I think 9-7, 10-6 is going to win the AFC East. And all that means is you have to get the 6 wins before December arrives. The Dolphins can win 6 of their first 13 games, wherever it's going to be. And the question is, what do they do down the stretch? I got to call up the schedule. They have their last half of the season is crazy. They have 4 straight games against just the dregs, like awful, awful teams. And then the last 4 are like playoff teams every single week.
Patriots at Raiders at Bills. Yikes.
So, I mean, there's I do see a path for them being relevant in December, and then their youth and their lack of talent and all that fail on them. But they're going to be a much more competitive team, particularly early in the season, than they were last year. Last year was crazy, man. They were picking guys up off the street on Wednesday and playing them on Sunday. That you're not going to see that this year. It's going to be a real roster run the correct way.
Adam Beasley at Adam H. Beasley on Twitter. Great friend of the show. Read him on the Miami Herald. Check out his podcast. Bees, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, man.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.